What are the two most serious boo-boos that an auditor can pull in an auditing session? What are they? That's right, and meaningfulness is evaluation. Now, it's an odd thing that this would coast along so far without me winding my wits up on it and taking a good square look at it. Just an odd thing that it'd get by this far, but that, again, as I was telling you all just staff conference yesterday, you just have to be able to get idiotic enough to understand it. And if you are idiotic enough, get simple enough, good process. What did evaluation mean, anyhow? Now, we had to establish two points to understand this. One, is the postulate actually senior to energy? Or is the postulate secondary to energy? In other words, invalidation, is it most serious when it's a lightning bolt or when it is spoken on communication? Of course, a lightning bolt is just a solid invalidation. A spoken invalidation is simply a spoken invalidation. Which one's the most damaging? You wouldn't really be able to answer the question because the lightning bolt is either straight mock-up or the result of invalidation. Verbal. Verbal invalidation would wind up in something that was heavy energy masses. You see that? Therefore, all the masses and volumes of masses which are troubling the preacher have something to do with invalidation of one kind or another. Well, what is invalidation? Well, I can't give you the central PAP process of invalidation, but invalidation is best described with this line, lack of acknowledgement. He isn't there. He is invalidated. He isn't there. He isn't acknowledged, in other words. Now, that's as close as I can come right here at this moment to this. People don't answer him. He says, I have a brilliant idea. And somebody says, when did you have a brilliant idea? You know, graduate of the University of Chicago. He says, when did you have a brilliant idea? You know, all ideas have always been thought. Nobody could have a brilliant idea anyhow. The guy's invalidated, isn't he? Well, let's look at the mechanism. He said, I have a brilliant idea. Do you know that he was not answered? You know, another communication was started in his direction? He spoke, but he was not answered. The answer was varied and was no answer. There were some words met what he said, but he was not answered. In other words, he didn't get an acknowledgement for what he said at all. There was no acknowledgement sitting there. He said, I have a brilliant idea. The other fellow said, yes, what? This would be an acknowledgement and a return communication. Now, the other fellow could say almost anything he wanted to say as long as he answered him. But guys who go on this invalidative line normally are so terribly insecure that they themselves would not dare be communicated to. They'd blow up or something of the sort. So the fellow says, I have a brilliant idea. Instead of an answer, get this, he gets an invalidation. Now, it's almost the same thing if he says, I have a brilliant idea, and he says this to his mother, and she says, pass the cream, dear. See, that's almost the same thing. It's invalidation. It means thou art not there. You're not present. And you're not communicating, is what invalidation says and does. And anything, then, that would add up to convince an individual that he wasn't there and he wasn't communicating could be headed under the level of invalidation. All right, now let's take evaluation. And let's discover that under this heading, the meaningfulness would get stuck. And the only way that an auditor could really upset a preclear with evaluation would be never to let the preclear evaluate either. Never let the preclear evaluate. See how this could be then. We'd get this kind of an activity. Preclear would say, well, I had an awfully hard time when I was very young. And the auditor would say, well, nearly every preclear I has had a hard time when he was young. Actually, this is a symptom of insecurity as far as you're concerned in your present job. Now, you say you were employed as a plumber. Well, you're sure that it isn't looking down old drain pipes. Actually, it probably is looking down old drain pipes. You know, psychoanalyst. a psychoanalytic approach. Now, supposing we did the reverse. Actually, in Scientology, an auditor is evaluating, giving meaning to the session with his auditing commands, isn't he? But the preclear should be coming back the other way with cognition, shouldn't he? What if the preclear never comes back the other way with cognitions? He never evaluates the other way to the auditor at all. The auditor evaluates to him with this tiny light thing. The auditor is saying when he says, think a thought, I think what's wrong with your case is that you have not sufficiently localized and understood exactly what and where you're thinking. See, he says, think a thought. He really says the rest of this, too, on an understood basis. Then the preclear says so and so and so and so, and this is the way it really seems to me, and he's giving significance or meaning to this, too, isn't he? So you've got a two-way flow of significance if your preclear is running and cogniting. But if your preclear isn't running and cogniting on this material, then you've got a stuck flow. So you'd have a stuck flow. Just auditing could be more evaluation than the preclear was giving you. See? And that way you just assist the stuck flow. Now, how do we break this jam? Well, we just break the jam by asking the preclear to give some meaning to his environment or to the auditing session or to Papa or Mama or you or anything. Make him put some meaning into things. For the next thing you know, he'll become more and more savvy, and he'll start cognizing faster and faster. And this is the way you speed up a session, but most important to us right at the present moment, because we're doing sessions so doggone fast, that the staff auditors this week, I think, had 4 PCs and 4 exteriorizations. All of them pretty rough cases. Not stable exterior. That's next week. 25-hour boost. All right, but you're... preclear at all times is under a heavy bombardment of evaluation. So therefore, if you add some evaluation on top of this, it caves him in. Now, we've known it would cave him in for 5 years. And just now, I tell you, the two shuns were the worst things you could do. But how to get a process and understand that process and run it. Your preclear's got to get more life, he's got to be more alive, he's got to click, he's got to bring himself up scale, he's got to communicate. Which of all these things are important? Well, he's got to learn to put some meaning into life in order to have some meaning to life. On a two-way flow basis, remember, it isn't obsessively he goes on and on and on simply putting meaning into life. Life's got to put some meaning into him, too, otherwise he's not in communication with life, so it's not alive. We see that clearly. All right, the auditing commands to run this sort of thing would be give me some meanings for anything. That would be a very low echelon. Next line is put some meanings in the place of that wall. Put some meanings in that wall. Put some meanings in father. Put some meanings in mother. He wants to know what you mean by meanings. You say significances. He wants to know what significance is. You give him an example. And you say, we'll get the idea that that wall over there is a Sherman tank. You say, doesn't this wind up one in hallucination? You'll say, unknowing use of it is hallucination. Now that's the... that's the way it runs. Because we're a little late here, I'll go over with you now just some of these other advances. The main advances is and centers around ownership. If you can establish the ownership of anything, you've established the central point most necessary to as is it. If you can establish the ownership of something, you have established the most necessary or vital datum to as is it. In other words, the most vital datum to as isness is ownership. Got that? Ownership. The most vital datum to exteriorization is control. That's simply it. These are very important things that just came up here in the last few days. The most vital datum to exteriorization is control. The most vital datum to as-ising an engram is ownership. Establish the ownership of something. You could do that in a thousand different ways. You could say, get the idea, your father owns your body, your mother owns your body, school owns your body, the army owns your body, cats own your body, dogs own your body. If you get the wrong owner, the body will start to get very much more solid. If you get the right owner, it'll go on down. But if you just ran it back and forth, the idea, you own your body, your mother owns your body, you own your body, your mother owns your body owns your body, cells own your body, cats own your body, the army owns your body, God owns your body, you own your body, your mother owns your body, you just feed him these ideas, and he gets those ideas one at a time as you get, and he really does get the idea. You know enough about your six basic processes that the process will run, and you get him back and forth like this, and the next thing you know, he's in an interesting state. I'm not quite in this thing. I'm not quite out this thing. I'm not stuck to this thing. But I'm upset. All right. What is he upset about? He's upset about control. Now, you could say responsibility in there, because responsibility is the bridge datum between ownership and control. The ownership we mean is made it. You really own what you make, but you can't have what you make because you as is it when you look at it. So we have to tell a lie about it in order to get it there, or you simply postulate that it's there and you can see it. Postulates are still above this. Communication, this ownership principle, maybe a couple of more that we don't know, and then postulates are the upper crust right now of Scientology. They're in this order of importance. But on ownership, we get into ownership by controlling something. We get into a misownership by controlling something. We start to control something, and the next thing you know, we own it. You know the old process by which we had the guy move a card from one side of the desk to the other, just change its position and places and turn it over and fool with it, say who owns it and so on. The next thing you know, the individual was capable of owning it. That's because he controlled it. All right, now we say, who really owns that? Now get the idea, father owns it, mother owns it, God owns it, you own it, and so forth. You'd as is this whole process. And he would exteriorize from the card. He'd let go of it. All right, now if we got the proper ownership of the body, we really nailed it. It belongs to the pictures. It belongs to itself. It belongs to the stomach. It belongs to you. You belong to it. Various types of ownerships and relationship to this. We have just brought him up to the point where he first started to control bodies. Now he's got a whole different category of address to the body, and he has feelings about controlling this body. Now owning it's one thing and controlling it's another. Start, stop, and change. So we've gotten him up to a point where he feels kind of nebulous about this, but he does not want to exteriorize out of it and find he could not control it. So having solved its ownership, we would then have to solve his ability to control it. Well, that could be done in a thousand different ways. Think a thought various ways. Solve control in general. Give me some ways to control bodies. Give me some consequences for controlling bodies. You just have this huge parade, you see, of types and processes, but they're all control. You could even have him sit there and say, all right, get the idea, you can control bodies, get the idea, you can't control bodies, get the idea, you can't control bodies, get the idea, you can't control bodies. You know, it's just dichotomy. The old crude dichotomy. And he would straighten this out one way or the other. And then he'd be willing to get out of this thing. What's holding him in it after you've taken the compulsive ownership off of this thing? Compulsive ownership was holding him in it. It was anchoring him down because it was misownership. He had told enough lies about who owned this thing so that he got stuck in it. You go around saying, my body, you know, my body. Daddy comes up to you and says, well, here's my little boy, meaning you. You get the idea, here's ownership, ownership, ownership. Here's earth controls you, earth holds you down, so earth owns you. Eventually you become earthmen. All right, here's ownership. Solved, but it only solves up to the point where you take compulsive or upset owning conditions off. In other words, you've gotten the guy up to a point where he can as is, but he can still make postulates. You've just gotten him up further, in other words, postulates are more effective, and what are you going to do? You're going to overcome any self-determinism he has and say, now you leave this society and you can't play this game anymore. In other words, get out of this body whether you can control it or not. It's the same thing as saying, we don't want you in this game anymore. Leave Earth, scram, beep. So we get this other factor. He has to be able to control the body and believe he can control the body before he can solve his willingness to get out of the body. And because responsibility is a bridge, then we have three critical data on exteriorization. And this is lead pipe cinch exteriorization. We solve the ownership of the objects trying to exteriorize from Earth, Mist, Universe, bodies, family, doesn't matter, army. I wonder if you ran this on somebody, you'd probably receive a discharge in the mail the next morning. Then you get his various areas of responsibility, which is actually control. You're sneaking up on control. Things you're not responsible for, things you are responsible for, it wouldn't matter. And then you bring him up to control. Things you're willing to control and so forth. Things you're not willing to control. Anything you wanted to handle in that line, you get him out. But the funny part of it is what has him pinned in originally is too much energy mass to as is. So even though you did run ownership on him, there's just too much there as is. Why? Meaningfulness. See, things have been handing him meaning. They handed him a name when he was born. Gustav, Adalbert, Filbert, Funk, Mutter. They handed him this name, evaluation. You are Gustav, Adalbert, so forth. See? The hell he is, but somebody evaluated for him. They gave him meaning. Whatever it means, usually a person's name is a great mystery because it means nothing. Now, he was evaluated for, stuck flow. See, it's getting stucker and stucker and stucker until he's got such a huge mass that even though you knew this principle of ownership, you couldn't spring him. Because you'd have to as-is just too much mass and it'd take too long. So the thing to do is as-is it on the point that it accumulated on, which is evaluation. And you say, all right, now give some meaning to life. Give me some meanings life could have. Put some meanings in the wall. Say I'm somebody else. Give yourself some names. Get the idea. See, there's a whole panorama of processes. You'd have these masses to some degree dissolve then, and you wouldn't have to worry too much when you started to run ownership to get him out. Actually, he will go out on meanings. Actually, he will go out on ownerships. We're just trying to take the easy way. Now, if you're going to as-is this huge mass of stuck flow, remember that's havingness. So you'd have to remedy havingness someplace along this line, wouldn't you? So we have now about five principles which seem to be adding up to fast staff clearing. Auditing. We're doing things on staff that no human being has dreamed of, including J.C. a long time ago. That's fact. Now cases, by the way, go by a sort of a square of speed. They start slow, and they move a little faster, and a little tiny bit faster, and a little tiny bit faster. In other words, they gain sort of by the square. Let's say an auditing command has one unit of value as far as cognition is concerned in the first 10 hours of auditing. In the last 10 hours of auditing, of the 25 hours, it would probably have 15 or 20 units of value. See, one auditing command. Now, let's say this individual was in terrible condition when he first started auditing, and an auditing command had 1/10 of a unit of value. We audit him for a couple of hundred hours. We find out at the end of a couple of hundred hours that it has 200 or 300 units of value, an auditing command has. See? How much is this? This is just the amount of life, cognition, and meaning there is to the individual. So we kind of go forward on a fast curve. And sometimes it's very, very rough getting somebody started, that they go further, and then the auditing command is more and more valuable. Now, That means the case is progressing. That means that much more life is coming into the person. So what are these things that we're going forward towards? So we could start a lot of cases slowly, but speed them up as we went. We would certainly know where we were going. And our actual goal, just this is on an experimental level at this time, and as far as time is concerned, not the processes, they're not experimental. Our actual goal on staff is operating Thetan in one intensive of an unstated number of hours, preferably 8. It takes a short time, you know, to get the preacher to come in and sit down. Now, the factors that we are working for to achieve that with staff auditors are these factors. We haven't started to work with some of these yet, but we've been working with one or another of them very gradually. First, the 6 basic processes. See, they're fundamental. Now, the exact things that we do with the 6 basic processes, however, are think a thought, give some meaning, what we're trying to work up toward. We've gone on to some of this already. We haven't put it all into action yet. Think a thought, give some meaning. The next step of would be ownership, straighten up his as-isness, straighten up his responsibility, straighten up his control, and then, when he's exteriorized, straighten all these things up in that order again while he's exteriorized. Well, you just straighten them up by remedying his ability to think a thought while exteriorized, his ability to put meaning into things and receive meaning from things. You know, that's, by the way, what a Thetan has trouble doing is receiving meaning from things. You ask him to see a wall, he doesn't see the wall. See, that's not receiving meaning from things. So he's really inverted when he goes out. He all of a sudden says, "Zar," because he's on a stuck flow of giving too much meaning to things. All right. So we just run this whole category of processes again. Well, I'm not really giving you the actual auditing process. I'm just telling you what the auditing design is. We have had an enormous advance, which has shown up immediately in the psychometric tests which we have been taking, and the amount of additional gain we are getting per week for our pre-clears is startling. It's the additional gain over last week's gain for pre-clears. I mean, we're ourselves in processing heading in an awfully steep curve. That doesn't mean that somebody processed 2 or 3 weeks ago has been gypped. He had more done from than anybody's done since JC came along. He was real lucky to be there. People are lucky to get over there. Now, if this is staff design, and if this is staff goal, it looks to me that a student had better get up on his toes, not to do calisthenics, but to get in there and pitch. Now, what would you be doing with a pre-clear if you didn't know how to continue a communication? Let me round this thing off. If you didn't know how to continue communication, none of the data you would have any place in Scientology would do you one particle of good. No matter how much I researched from this point on, it would never be delivered to a pre-clear. You didn't know that an individual has to be able to think a thought, such as give him a problem, give him a solution, that sort of thing. If he can't think a thought independently and know that he is thinking that thought, what are you auditing? Machine? A circuit? His right foot? The door? You're not auditing the pre-clear. All right. So he has to be able to think a thought and know who's thinking it. He has to be able to get some distinguishment of universes. And now there's been one additional experimental development in the running of 8C, and we're just now running an experiment. It's not really experimental. It's just objective-subjective with 8C. The two conditions of existence that have to be remedied are isness and not-isness. Both of those would have to be remedied if you're going to get as-isness and any kind of freedom from an entrapment. You'd have to remedy isness and not-isness. So you'd ask somebody, give me some things that are here, give me some things that aren't here. He must have an awful impulse to make things not here, you see. And therefore he doesn't see things real. So we could have him go around and feel all the walls. See, we could go around and feel the walls, just straight 8C, and then have him sit down and tell you some things that aren't here. But he's already experienced the things that are here. There's some various ways to run that, but that's an objective-subjective 8C, and very possibly may be a horribly fast version of 8C. We don't know yet how fast it is. We know it'll work, but we don't know how fast it'll work. Now, with the advances in processes, with the ability to get life into a preclear with greater rapidity, therefore we can put more life into the udder. He won't have to put so long in session, will he? That's important then, isn't it? How do you put more life into the udder? You give him less hours in session. So he can put more life into the preclear. Now you've got working chained lightning here. Now, those of you that are here in Phoenix today are here at a very opportune time. We've been climbing a tall ladder. We haven't any idea where the top of this ladder is. I don't know where it is. Jacob's ladder was a little short footstool that you got up and looked in the cupboard with. If I'd known how high this ladder was and how far it had to be climbed, I'd tell you, I really would have socked the dean that day. And joined the French Foreign Legion, and you'd never been bothered with this. But it's a real tall ladder. But it is now in very fascinating realms. Very fascinating. Now, the auditing an auditor's doing on staff is a little closer driven in. It's a little closer adapted to the actual case he's running. It's very refined in many ways. But it's still six basic processes. You know, we had a case a few weeks ago that didn't crack at all because the case just would never run the process, you know. You'd say, give me some place where your mother isn't having kittens, and she'd say, auditor really look into her psyche, which she carried in her pocketbook, and find out what she had run. It was, bicycles have flat tires. That's what she said. Give me some place where your mother's not having kittens. She says, bicycles have flat tires. Only she wasn't enunciating them. And the auditor ran 8C on her, and he just cut this to pieces. He ran 8C on her for, well, I don't know how long it was. I didn't ask him. I imagine 5-6 hours. And it just got cut to ribbons. And after that, he'd say, give me some place where your mother is not having kittens. And she'd say, let's see. Well, I don't see any kittens around here any place. You get the idea. She was on the ball. For her, that was good. It was in communication. All right, now I've told you an awful lot of things today, and you're going to wonder where the hell we are now, but we're just a little bit closer to the goals we're at, and I am now going to expect this from a staff auditor. I'm going to expect this from a staff auditor. I'm not going to expect it from the preclear particularly, but I'm going to expect a staff auditor, if he audits somebody 50 hours, certainly, to have a stable state and exterior. See, certainly. Easily. The case is terribly rough, 50 hours. See? Stable, state, and exterior. Not saying that the thetan, exteriorized and stable, is in wonderful condition, you understand, but is stabilized, exterior. You know, he might still have problems and so on and all that sort of thing, but he isn't going to snap back in the body every time somebody picks a rubber band out of his pocket or something. And for a case that's normally in good shape, operating thetan in 25 hours. Now, these are extreme goals handed out just for plain, ordinary cussedness. That's the first and most basic reason. And then duress, which is the next reason. And then because it's possible is the next reason. And because it's highly desirable is totally the meaning that we are putting into life. We are putting meaning in life. We're saying this is desirable. Nobody thought it was desirable before. Everybody's dead in his head. That's an interesting fact, isn't it? And we say, hey, look what you can do if you exteriorize. Actually, if the thetan is not in two-way communication with this universe, if he cannot look at a wall and find there's a wall there, if he can't stabilize himself outside, if he can't be someplace and read somebody's diary, There's no use in this. All right. But the curve of progress here of recent weeks has just been getting steeper and steeper, and I've gotten very curious about the whole thing. I just stand back and let it run. I mean, I'm not even sure now I'm wanting to let it run. I mean, I couldn't think up all these things and put this stuff all together, because if I did that, why, I don't do that anyhow. We get another principle. It's the God principle that everybody has to operate on. I'll just mention that to you in passing. The God principle. If the Thetan is 100% aware, ordering a body around which is 1% aware, 100 units aware, ordering a body around which is 1 unit aware, as I told you Wednesday night, he has to get a proportion going. Big C, little E, see? Otherwise, he'll become Big E. So how do we get this proportion straightened out? We have a 10,000-unit source operating on a 100-unit Thetan. We got God. In other words, here he is on this communication line, which is a 100-unit theoretical unit Thetan, you see, talking to a 1-unit of awareness body. That's a one-way flow and a bum one. So we have to have over here a 10,000-unit, see, 100 times as great, entity or being or something that is giving the Thetan orders in order to have a two-way flow. See? And man has had a solution to this for just ages and ages and ages. And this solution is bow down to God. That's the purpose God serves. See? It's to balance this two-way communication. But actually, if an individual were entirely unwitting and unknowing about this thing, and if somebody or other started to use God for punishment, we wouldn't have a communication formula anymore, because God would be running bum 8C on the guy. And that doesn't make for communication. So when we read in the good book, I don't know, that was one of those, the good book. When you read in the good book that I am the God of wrath, I am the God of vengeance. Just think of yourself for a moment coming into an auditing session, and you say to the preclear, I am the auditor of wrath, I am the auditor of vengeance. And notice how fast you don't go into communication. You just wouldn't progress any place then, would you, at all? So a civilization that's using this God mechanism is in no danger at all, as long as the God they've got runs good 8C. When he starts to run bad 8C, the civilization will go sour on this unit. It's very, very tempting to take this unit formula of 10,000 units of God and 100 units of Thetan talking to 1 unit of body and call it a two-way communication and so balance it out. It's a very, very interesting thing to do this. It saves a person from a lot of things. Do you know why you have a mock-up of your father? Why you have a mock-up of that teacher? Why you have a mock-up of this and that and something or other floating around in the engram bank? You're trying to find a 10,000-unit deity to talk to him. Compensate for the fact that you're talking to a stupid body all the time. You got that? So you're looking for this 10,000-unit deity. And you mock it up. You get it in the bank. Guys put up circuits, demons, devils, anything, engrams. You'll notice the common denominator of all engrams is command value. That's common denominator to any engram in re-stimulation. It's command value. We knew that in 1950. All right, the next thing that is a common denominator of it is its substitute value for a communication source. It has value. Any engram and re-stimulation has value. It actually does have value as a substitute communication source. It's there as a substitute for a missing source of communication, which will compensate for this unbalanced thing. Here you have a 100-unit aware Thetan talking to a 1-unit aware body. That's a one-way flow. It's going to nail that Thetan down like mad, unless he's got something over here, which is 10,000 units to talk to him. Now, he could say something to body, but something is still talking to him, which is greater than he is, although he's talking to something less than he is. He'll still be able to mock up a two-way flow, which will be balanced. And therefore, he will not get re-stimulated or spin in just because he's handling a body. But the second that somebody clouds up, monkeys up, and fouls up this God mechanism or any other type of mechanism to compensate for that, he succeeds in pinning the guy down in his head. Therefore, science comes along and says, in all the meters that we have, everywhere, we have yet to find God registering. God, therefore, is not a scientific belief. Communism is, therefore, the better philosophy. I don't know how they get there, but they do. That's the way they go. Then when they go clear crazy and go into nuclear physics, they say, the only place you've got to turn to is God that we prove doesn't exist. All right. So that we have this problem, then, of the superior source. Always we must have the superior source. Well, in this country, we've solved it all by all being equal. It's got to be a superior source sometime or another. And the source is as good as it runs good 8C. And it actually is as workable as you know it's a phony. Isn't that odd? You don't have to bury this thing up here and say this is entirely unknown now. It really exists. You don't have to do that at all. You can say, I put it there, and now it's telling me to wash my face, you jerk. Works perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with it at all. But the second you say, I had no part in putting it there, and it is entirely capricious, and it's not restrained by anything because it's so powerful, you say, uh-oh, what if we turn loose around here? It is not the custom of man to go down to the dog pound, find a mad dog, and turn him loose on Main Street. This is not one of man's customs. He will eventually take the mad dog and put him in a small box someplace and bury him. And that's approximately what they did with God when other people made God into a bad control mechanism. See, they said, I am the God of wrath and vengeance. I'm going to kill everybody. You know, good, sane God. There have been gods of all kinds, shapes, sizes, and description. Actually, there are gods which really exist. They really exist. They generally wouldn't talk to you anymore, and you go out here and talk to ants. But they exist. You can get into communication with them if you butter them up a little bit. But you get a two-way communication then by, if you've got to talk to a body and direct it around and stay in close communication with it, to free its communication lines between you and the body, then one way to do it, and the way man has done it, and the method man has used, with thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, has been exterior deity. Then somebody wanted a monopoly, like the DuPont people or something like that, and they said there's only one God, and that's ours. And we run bum 8C. Now, this is a poor supposition that there would only be one God. The wisest man I know on this planet said to me when I was a kid, a statement that I think was also said many times to missionaries who were trying to crash the gate over in India. And he said, Christianity is a very interesting religion. Very interesting. He said, but it has one fallacy. And he said, I don't quite get it. One fallacy. It keeps saying there's only one God when any fool knows there are many. So he's puzzled. He was a very wise man, but he could not get his attention focused down on this impossibility of one God. You could also say there's only one universe and one God in one universe. Be an interesting thing, wouldn't it? All right, as we look over the straightening out of how you handle a body and stay in good communication with your environment, you have meaning as a stuck flow. You also have another stuck flow, which is you have been talking to people, things, objects below you. Your car, for instance, has less awareness value than you do. And you will get stuck up against anything which gets to be a stuck flow. That's why you call it stuck flow. It collapses this way. All right. You then have to find somewhere in the bank, somewhere in some church or a commanding source which has command value with you. See, to compensate for it. Otherwise, you don't have a two-way command flow. It's as simple as that. And so you have national heroes, and you have all kinds of people, and you had until recently Einstein, who was supposed to have been a smart cookie, and probably was. And he, for instance, served as the god, just that plainly, that bluntly, he was the god of the nuclear physicist, the god of the physicist, the god of the scientist. He occupied the stage more really like Steinmetz at one time was the god of the mathematicians. And yet you look over Steinmetz's history and you scratch your head a little bit. You can't quite find where he got this godliness, but everybody says, Steinmetz, that's Steinmetz said so, it must be true, you know, you got this command value. Well, now when they forget they're doing this, and when they make these people run bad HC, then they get upset. So they go around electing, people do, they go around electing these command units. And if a person gets to a point, if he's had such bad HC run on him continually, that he gets to a point where he won't elect anything as his superior, he's done. He has just committed suicide. He won't elect anything anywhere in the universe as capable of giving him command. Every time he gives an order to something less aware than himself, he is sticking the flow a little tighter. See what happens then? So this is the God mechanism. We evidently, if we know this principle, maybe we probably don't even need it, you see. We know the principle behind it, the whole thing blows up. But this is what man is doing. He is appointing gods to order him around to compensate for the fact that he is ordering things around a very small awareness. And when he appoints a god, whether he be James Doolittle or FDR, any god he appoints. If somebody then comes along and tells him that this god runs bum HC, you know, he doesn't put it in that terminology, but it's actually a more understandable statement. He convinces him that FDR runs bum HC, then he pins people a little deeper, you see. If somebody comes along with Christianity as Christianity and uses the whip and the hymn book and to civilize the redskins and beef up the slave trade and you look at this and you say Christianity, because why? The first god of Christianity was a god of love. What they did in essence was say, you know, this boy runs real good HC. So everybody said, hey, what do you know? And they probably, a lot of them got 3 feet back of their head with it, too, see? See, they just go out and they'd say, pray, and give me my hot dope and give me the orders and so forth. Yes, sir. And next thing you know, why, there's the body there praying. They say, now I feel free and I am in the kingdom of heaven, because they didn't have any process to turn on perceptics. So then somebody wanted to make some dough out of this. Whoever he was, Paul, he had some unit back there named Paul. I've forgotten who it was. Somebody had to make a fast buck. And he says, now, if you don't drop a couple of talents in the pot we're passing around, bud, I've got a private wire. And I can give him the word, and he'll run bum HC. Well, the fella shelled out. And this worked for a long time, until the Catholic Church, by the way, owned about 3/4 of the civilized property in the Western Hemisphere. And it was a good trick if you wanted to misown everything. But it didn't make anybody free. Now, this trick still goes on, and this trick is still being done by your preclear. So we have this phenomenon of the weakest universe and the strongest universe. If you start separating your preclear out of the weakest universe, the most horrible agonies of tiredness will turn on. If you start separating him out of the strongest universe, why, he'll start to get upset somehow or another. You got the idea? He has got his universe is so fixed that if he exteriorizes easily, get this now, if he exteriorizes easily, his God problem is well solved. And what do we mean by his God problem? We merely mean that he has some commanding entity, whether it was Father or anything else, or his friends, or he knows a lot of influential people, or he's got this rather well solved. So that he's not in too unbalanced a flow. There are things around which can have command power over him. This gives him the right, on an overt act motivator sequence, this gives him the right to have command power over lesser things like his body. And he's got that problem solved. You say, be 3 feet back of your head, and he is. If he isn't, he hasn't got this problem solved. Now, meaning and other things can all be used to solve this case, but we still have this interesting factor. This is more phenomena than it is a process. It's more understanding of man than anything else. And you have God, the God problem. What will I do for a God? You could just see some Felix the cat walking around in circles saying what he's going to do for God. Something has got to have command power over him. The best thing to have command power over him would be, of course, something that would run good HC on him. It wouldn't knock him all over the place. Now you want to see your preclear's in bad condition. What's he done with this command God problem? What's he done with it? Fascinating thing. His gods have run bad HC on him, so he runs bad HC on the body. And therefore, he's in bad condition. He has psychosomatic ills. And all kinds of other things are wrong with him. Why? Because there's something wrong with his God. Not really that something is wrong with him at all. He is just handling what he handles in the same factor as he has handled himself. And this tells you that when you see a missionary or somebody like this whose mess is all falling to pieces and so forth, boy, his idea of God must be something worth painting by Salvador Dali. See, God must be giving him a rough time. The little world of Don Emilio, the picture was here recently. God talked to Don Emilio, gave him orders and cussed him around and so forth. But it was a nice guy to him. It isn't that God loved him. God was merely gave him good orders. Clearly understandable, like put out that cigar. And fascinating mechanism. All right. You can understand a lot about a person. You can understand a lot about a person. That his willingness to solve this problem stems out of his own ability to sense this problem. But his unwillingness to solve it stems immediately from having been pushed around to such a degree that he is terrified at anybody running HC on him. But this puts you in an interesting position as an auditor, which is the only reason I'm talking to you about it and the only reason I detained you over this extra hour. Fascinating thing here. The preclear will get well for an auditor to the degree that he can use the auditor to solve his God problem. And the moral to that is run good HC and don't have clay feet. Auditors can't have clay feet. Every preclear you've audited, if he did not progress, was using you not to solve this two-way communicational problem. And every preclear that you audited successfully was willing to use you as a substitute or a solution in that problem. So therefore, you must be willing to control the preclear. And you must be willing to occupy that position in relationship to the preclear, without at the same time completely upsetting and confounding your own ideas of decency and propriety. I know I hate to walk around, sort of on a cloud basis. It doesn't seem to me right to walk up to people and say, well, confidentially, I'm God. This doesn't seem to be the right thing to do. I don't think you'd find it the right thing to do either. But the funny part of it is God never worries about being God. And you never really worry about your ability as an auditor. if you hand out good control, and if you're perfectly willing to be very representable to the preclear, to be capable as far as he's concerned, and not shirk for a moment where it comes to pushing him around for his own good, get the idea, you're definite, you're positive, no wishy-washiness about it. And you are also, according to his acceptance level, remember this, according to his acceptance level, not to the society in general necessarily, clean, neat, keep yourself well, and handle yourself well. If you do these things, the guy says, well, gee, my God problem is solved. Fait accompli. You got it now? It's as easy as this. That's just a phenomenon that enters into auditing. Maybe you could do something about it with auditing. Maybe you could have the guy keep mocking himself up at God and talking to him. I'll tell you, by experiment, that is one of the more painful processes. Mocking up a God out here to give you orders. You just have him talk and give you orders. It's a painful process. It's not really a process so much as something that you've got to understand. An individual, then, who is the only one, who is the topmost top, who won't take orders from anybody, anything, or take no suggestions or anything from anybody, who is above everybody else, who is very superior, who has the idea that you cannot possibly be too superior in life. I met a psycho once who told me that. I treasured those words, how well they described this person. This person was the most inferior person that you ever ran into. The person said, well, you couldn't possibly be too superior. You know, that's why I don't worry about being superior myself. Right? Superior? Superior to what dog? But this person had flipperooed into their own God choice. You see, they'd done a swap of valence. Very often, a live papa finds a happy child. Papa dies, and the two-way communication formula is all upset. And it might even tell you, this God formula might even tell you why man stops growing at the age he stops growing, stops learning at the age he stops learning, stops progressing, might be the explanation of age, too. It's quite interesting, isn't it? You've always got people taller than you are when you're a child. When you get as tall as they are, you no longer have your God problem solved. You become the only one, so you die. But this would argue that little men, then, were happier than big men. And that's not true. Now, the useful material which I've given you today, as far as you are concerned, I suppose, is usable in several different ways, but I would like to point your attention very closely to this meaningfulness of life and demonstrate to you very closely that it is part of the six basic steps. What's the meaning in life is sort of think a thought. You get the idea? It's a specialized thought to think. And thinking this specialized thought gets you further than many other thoughts you could tell him to think. But it might not get you any further at all than think a thought. Maybe you tell him think a thought, think a thought, think a thought. He'd get a lot further in the long run than a specialized thought. But then you could have him think a specialized thought and do a lot more for him. This is a very interesting specialized thought. It is the most interesting specialized thought, puts a meaning into this and that, since problems and solutions, R220. There are three things that almost rank together. R220, problems and solutions, consequences, what would happen if, and this puts a meaning into, actually ownership and control as central data in exteriorization are not in the same class. It's not the same class of material at all. They're far more vital data and a far more vital understanding. As far as processes are concerned, though, we have three processes here which are quite interesting, and that's problems and solutions. Give me some problems you could have or be to yourself. Problems and solutions, and then the consequences, and then meaning into life. And of the three, the one that gets the most action and motion is puts a meaning into life. That's action. If you want to see energy masses shift around, why, you can watch that. All right, you've been a very, very good audience, those of you who are here who aren't students probably would wonder why I talk this long without giving you a single break, but a student can take anything. I did have quite a bit of material which is accumulated, and actually I feel very remiss these days in not passing along as much information as is being developed and keeping your understanding abreast of things while you are here. So I've given this talk. Those who are not students, who are members of staff, probably glad to have this because it's about the only instruction I give. And those who are not under instruction, but who are pre-clears, are probably wondering why the hell this wasn't run on them last week. If we ran every new process on every new pre-clear that came in, we'd never make anybody well. You are not research pre-clears. You're there to do the best you can with the most standard we have, and that way is safe. And those of you who are not students or pre-clears and so forth, I hope you haven't suffered too badly here in the last 2 hours. Been a very, very good audience. We'll have air conditioning next Saturday, I'm sure. I'm sure, aren't I?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Made that postulate stick. Thanks ever so much, and good afternoon.